Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. If you look in your bulletin, it says Philemon 4 through 7, and some of you are thinking we're going to be here for a while, but that's verses 4 through 7. There's only one chapter in the book of Philemon. If you'd like to follow along in the Bible in your pew, you'll find it in page 1007. Again, this is Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. We all have one, right? We all have that distant relative who forwards every email they've ever received to a list of people that they have in their address book. And I have a dear uncle who I love very much, who does this just about every week. And most of these emails, I don't know why I get them, right? The content is bizarre, and it's not really helpful. So most of the time, I send them to the trash book, folder, and I move on. But a couple of weeks ago, I got one that I actually thought was pretty helpful. It was an article that was put out by the Mayo Clinic on emotional exhaustion. Emotional exhaustion. And when I saw the title of the article, it had to do something with emotional exhaustion among clinical workers in the age of COVID. And I thought, well, this is interesting. But I wasn't entirely sure what emotional exhaustion is. I mean, on the general sense, you kind of get an idea, but I wanted to know a little bit more. So I started reading the article, and right off the bat, I was given a definition. This, for your information, is what emotional exhaustion is. When stress begins to accumulate from negative or challenging events in life that just keep coming, you can find yourself in a state of feeling emotionally worn out and drained. This is called emotional exhaustion. I said, okay, I'm tracking with what they're doing here. And then gave a list of symptoms: anxiety, apathy, depression, feeling hopeless, feeling powerless or trapped, irritability, lack of motivation, nervousness, tearfulness, fatigue, headaches, lack of appetite, sore muscles, or muscle tension, right? It's like the end of all the symptoms you might get if you take a drug that you see on television, kind of one of those deals. And then it gave you a list of causes, and this is what I really found interesting. Lack of social support, being a caregiver, relationship struggles, grief after losing a loved one, working too many hours, low job satisfaction, lack of control, living with chronic illness, and then this is my personal favorite, raising children. So basically, if you have a pulse, you're at high risk of emotional exhaustion. I think every single one of us can identify with one of the causes of this condition. And I want to pause here for a moment because, you know, I'm cracking a little bit of jokes and we're laughing here. But this is a clinical experience for some folks. And I want to recognize that and recognize that as Christians, I know Christians who would hear about emotional exhaustion and they've said, oh, it doesn't exist. Toughen up. Just deal with it. Or they would say something like, you just have to pray more or read scripture more. And they don't take seriously the fact that there are individuals who really deal with this. And I want us to recognize right off the bat that as Christians, that's not an option for us. we recognize that there are people who are really dealing with these things, and they really do need medical help for them. And we believe as Christians that God has given us medicine and doctors and the wisdom to help people to process these things. And that is important. So I'm not taking or making light of that condition. I'm simply recognizing that it's something that we all, on some level, have probably dealt with in our lives. On vacation a couple of weeks ago, and we flew back about a six-hour flight to Seattle, and then that infamous flight from Seattle to Spokane, right? The one that as you pass by Lewiston and wave to it, you go to Seattle and then backtrack, right? And as we were flying, Epperly had been doing great, but she was tired, right? She was ready to get off the plane. She was fussy. We get off the plane, and we get into Seattle Airport. We get some food, and we jump on the next plane. And we're excited, 45 more minutes, right? 45 more minutes. And an hour later, we're still sitting on the tarmac, right? The pilots aren't in the plane. I don't know where they are. And as they came on, they were smiling too much for their own good because we had been sitting there that long. We get into Spokane. We get off the plane. Charlie takes Epperly to the car. Charlie's parents are there. Long story. Anyways, our bags didn't make the flight. How? We sat there for an hour. How did they not make the flight? I stood in line waiting to bring my bag tag for a half hour as the person in the behind the counter, who has a difficult job, I recognize, spent 20 minutes with every single person. By that time, the next flight from Seattle landed in Lewiston and our bags came off, right? Charlie looked at me and she said, "Well, vacation's over." We were tired. Another way of talking about emotional exhaustion might be having a weary heart. A weary heart. Friends, I want to ask this morning, is your heart weary? Are you tired? Is it hard for you to imagine what taking the next step looks like in some area of your life? I think every single one of us deals with a weary heart in one way or another. And this morning, I want to lift up to you three examples of how I think we come to have a weary heart in our lives. And then we're going to take the opportunity to look at Philemon and see a man who is responsible for refreshing other people's hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask ourselves the question, what might we learn from Philemon about refreshing our own weary hearts in Jesus Christ? One of the ways that we experience a weary heart is that we are tired. We have a tired heart. In other words, we try to do too much in our lives. This is especially true in our spiritual lives. I remember when I first became a Christian, which was essentially early high school, the phrase that people used a lot was, you had to be on fire for Jesus, right? Now, it's kind of funny if you think about it, because in no other world is being on fire a good thing, right? You should never be on fire. That's always cause for alarm, except in your relationship with Jesus. And in order to be on fire, you have to do amazing things for God. And so I set out to do amazing things for God. I was going to bring my whole school to know Jesus Christ. Just a small task that I placed in front of myself. And the harder and harder that I worked towards bringing my friends to know Christ, the more and more I was disappointed. I was tired. A lot of them, they didn't have much of an interest in knowing Jesus. And this thing that I was passionate about, this thing that I wanted to share with them, they didn't want anything to do with it. I remember when I tried too hard on the first day of football practice in college. We showed up and we had a conditioning test to see if we had been doing the work that we needed to in the off season to be prepared for our two-a-day practices at the end of that summer. And I step up to the line, and the way the conditioning exercise worked, the test worked, is you had to run from one sideline down, touch the sideline, and run back. And for myself as a defensive back and the receivers with me, you had to do it under 10 seconds, okay? Now, when you do that, you know, it sounds like, well, you don't have enough time. Actually, you do, right? You actually do. And I had been working out that summer, so I felt like I was prepared, so much so that I saw this as my opportunity to prove what a great athlete and how fast I was. And so the first sprint came, and they blew the whistle, and I ran as hard as I possibly could, and I got back. And I beat every other defensive back and receiver by a good 5 or 10 yards. And I'm thinking, I'm going to start right off the bat, right? I'm smoking these fools, right? And I remember very clearly one of the seniors, who was a senior wide receiver, he came over. He didn't even know my name. He just saw my number. He goes, 13. Pace yourself, bro. Pace yourself. And I'm thinking, don't rain on my parade. You're just scared, right? You're just scared of what I'm, the heat I'm bringing to this competition. We had to do this 15 times. I got to number 8, and I was huffing wind. I was bent over, just absolutely trying to get my breath. And this senior walks over to me, and he puts his arm on my back, and he goes, rookie, should have played golf. Sometimes in our lives, we try to do too much. And that's true of our faith lives as well. So we have a tired heart. The second way that we experience a weary heart is that we have a stagnant heart. We don't do anything at all. I was talking to one of our students a couple of weeks ago at our youth group. And they walked in, and I could tell that they were absolutely just tired. They looked awful. I said, hey, so-and-so, are you okay? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm just really, 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 really tired. I said, oh, buddy, I'm so sorry. I mean, what'd you do today? He goes, well, I slept in till 1 p.m. I said, you slept in till 1 p.m.? First of all, that's even physically possible. But second of all, that would somehow make you tired. And he says, yeah. He says, every time I sleep past noon, and I'm thinking, there are other times you do this? But he says, every time I sleep past noon, I'm done for the day. There's nothing that I can do, right? I've slept too long, and I become lethargic, and I'm useless, right? I think that's true of our spiritual lives as well. Sometimes we have a stagnant heart. We forgot what it means to go out and to live in service to Jesus Christ. We have become stagnant in our faith. And that, surprisingly, can lead to a weary heart. So we have a tired heart, we have a stagnant heart, and then finally we have a damaged heart. We are broken inside. Pastor Steve has already mentioned it in his prayer, but when I heard of the school shooting in Texas this last week, it was one of those deals where we're hearing this often enough now that I think our hearts are becoming a little bit callous to it. I mean, it's horrible. Right, it's an awful thing to think about, and we think about the families who are going through it, and it's awful and harmful, and yet it's just another instance in a long list of tragedies that we see and experience in our nation and in our communities that we don't know what to do with. And then I was sitting in my living room, I looked down and saw my daughter sitting. I thought to myself, what would it be like for my daughter to experience those final moments and the chaos and the noise and the screaming? And that was too much. That was a broken heart moment for me. There are other ways we experience broken hearts. We lose a loved one, something we were excited about. A plan that we had doesn't pan out the way we thought. How a friend feels like we've harmed them, we've done them wrong, and that relationship there's a division between us and that individual. There are lots of ways that we experience broken heart, and there are times when our hearts feel like they're going to fail us, like we can't do anything about the brokenness in our own lives and in the world around. Friends, all of us experience a weary heart in one way or another. I want you to hear this morning. God is seeking to refresh your heart. God is not comfortable with a weary heart. God does not want you to see you laden with the burden and the weight of the world that constantly feels like it's just going to crush you. It's all going to overcome you. That is not God's desire for you. God is seeking to refresh our hearts. And in our passage this morning, we have an opportunity to observe an individual that Paul said often refreshes the hearts of those around him. And so for the remaining time that we have together, I want us to consider, what is it about Philemon that is refreshing the hearts of those around him? And how might God use this scripture in our lives this morning to refresh our hearts and encourage us to refresh the hearts of those around us? Friends, a refreshed heart is a good thing. I woke up this morning with it raining again. Once again, my lawn is about this long, so I can put it off another couple of days. But the first thought that I had is those poor folks all this way, traveled all this way for the College World Series, right, over here at the school. Friends, if you are here and you're at the World Series, it's not usually like this. It should be 85 degrees and you're, you know, buying fans and sun shirts and sunscreen, all of that. It's especially cold. It's especially wet right now. So I'm hoping that we get better weather for the rest of the World Series. However, I also know that in maybe 2 or 3 months, it'll be the middle of August, and it's going to be 105 degrees in this valley. And it's going to be bone dry. And our skies are going to be filled with smoke because of all the forest fires in our area. And in that moment, every single one of us gathered here on Sunday morning, we're going to be praying for rain, right? We're going to be asking for rain. Because in moments like that, rain refreshes God's creation. And I think as it refreshes God's creation, it also in some way refreshes our hearts. And so to be refreshed is a good thing. And Philemon points us in the direction of how we might receive that refreshed heart. In verses 4 through 5, Paul says, "I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people." Faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. In Matthew 22, one of his disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus responds, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." This is the content, if you will. This is the definition of what it means to be a person of faith. And yet, when we live our lives, we try to do too much. We have a tired heart because we think we have to go out and we have to do God's mission on our own, right? We have to build the kingdom of God. But friends, that's not what Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exactly who Philemon is. Paul thanks God because he keeps hearing about Philemon's faith in the Lord and his love for all of God's people. You want to avoid a tired heart? You want to avoid trying to do too much faith and in this world? It comes down to living a simple life of obedience to God's word. To living the calling that God has placed in your life, not by your own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you be tired? Yeah, there'll be moments, sure. But a tired heart is one that is forgotten, that it's not our work, it's God's work, and we are His instruments. And so to be an instrument of God, all it requires is that we love Him and we love those around us. A simple life of obedience. What about a stagnant heart? We read in verse 6, Paul says, "And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ." God calls us to live lives of generosity to those around us because we understand that we have received a good thing in Jesus. God, in His grace and in His mercy, He offers us new life, a fulfilled life, life that is marked by goodness and wholeness, by grace, by love, all the things that we find in Jesus Christ. This is what God gives us, and he simply says to us, now go out and be generous in giving that to other people. That's not a stagnant heart. It's not a heart that says, I'm going to keep these good things to myself, or I'm too scared because what if they reject those good things, or I just don't know how to give these good things. It's a heart that says, God, I will trust that you will give me the power, that you will give me the grace, and that you will give me the courage to go out and to give and live generously. Friends, living new life of generosity that God has given you, this is one of the ways that we avoid a stagnant heart that can lead to emotional exhaustion, to a weary life. And then finally, what about a damaged heart? We read in verse 7, your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. We know that Philemon is a follower of Jesus Christ. He is a disciple of the Lord. And in his response to loving Jesus, in response to Jesus' gift that he has given to him, Philemon shows kindness to others. Now, this isn't because Philemon is wise. It's not because Philemon is the greatest follower of Christ in the history of the world. It's simply because God has been gracious to him. Through his Holy Spirit and through his love, he has encouraged Philemon to show this kindness to others. And when we answer that call, when we live into the faith that God has given us, our hearts are refreshed. The hearts of those around us are refreshed. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Friends, again, I ask you this morning, do you have a weary heart? Is it tired? Is it stagnant? Is it damaged? This isn't the life that God wants for us. It's the life that he has designed for us. And through the power of his Spirit and his grace, he offers to us his Son, Jesus Christ. And in that gift, we find refreshment. Refreshment when we are called to move, to go do what he has called us to do. To live into his love. So my challenge for you this morning, friends, is that. To live in the grace of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, to live generously for others, that our hearts might be refreshed, and that we might refresh those around us as well. Let us pray. God, in your grace and in your mercy, you seek, Lord, to refresh our hearts. And God, in a world in which we are constantly bombarded with lies, with falsehood, with things we say about ourselves and things that are said to us, God, we become tired. And so, God, we receive your refreshment with joy and with gratitude, knowing that you have called us, Lord, to go out into the world and to share that generosity that you have shown us with others. We pray these things in Christ's name.